Okay, we're on Daf Gimel tonight. So if you remember, we're in this discussion. It says in the Mishnah, Orli Arba Asar about Kinan HaChameis, and we had two opinions in the Gemara. Rav Huna said Or means Nagi, light, and Rav Yehuda says it means Lele, the night, light night. So day or night, basically. So that's what we thought the Machloket is. So the Gemara asked some start. So obviously, in the Maskana, we're building up to it now. Or means the night of the 14th is when you do the Bedikah. So the Gemara has already, put some nails in the coffin for Rav Huna, and we had some proofs that it means night. We had this Braisa on Beis Amud Beis, where Rabbi Yehuda Omer bo kin orli arba asar arba asar shachrit. Like you're supposed to, it's the Mishnah really. The Mishnah later on Daf Yud says that you check on the night of the 14th. Otherwise, you don't do it the morning of the 14th. That was clear that it means the night. And then over on the, but after the, even though we said Shema Minah there, so they quoted from one of the Mefarshim. He says that, but in other words, even the Tana Rav Huna will concede that or sometimes means night. But the so we continued to bring other proofs, and then we had a proof a few lines from the bottom on Beis Amud Beis, where we said about with the torches, and that was on Lo'or Iburo on the night of the 31st. That's also another nail in the coffin for Rav Huna. So we're on the bottom line on Beis Amud Beis. He says Meifei. So we ask another question against Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the one who's hemorrhaging. He says Meifei Marzutra poses the following question, and this is from a Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Masechet Kritot. It says Hamapelet or the Shmonim ve'echad. Now the key here is that when a woman gives birth, she's Tmeya for 14 days. She's if she gives birth to a girl. We're going to focus on the girl because that's what the Mishnah is focused on. If she gives birth to a girl, she's Tmeya for 14 days. Then she goes to the mikveh. And then following that, so the next 66 days, any blood she sees is Dam Toar on a Torah level. In other words, even if she sees blood during that period of time, she still remains Torah. We don't do it this way, Halacha L'maaseh, today, but that's Midin Torah. And then after 80 days, that's the whole shebang. Then on the 81st day, she brings her korbanot that she gave birth. So the Gemara learned that let's say she would miscarry during that period of time. Let's say she got impregnated in that 80-day period, and then she miscarried. I assume the miscarriage would have to be after 40 days of, because if it's before 40 days, it's usually not halachically significant. So, and then she miscarries. So now she technically is chayav in korbanot. She's technically chayav in korbanot for that as well. So the Gemara says that those korbanot would be covered, in other words, with everything. In other words, since in other words, the chiyuv to bring the korban begins on day 81. So since the chiyuv to begin with korban wasn't chal yet, so she gets like a discount price, like one set of korbanot for both pregnancies or pregnancy and miscarriage. So the Mishnah takes up the issue, what if she miscarries on the night of the 81st? In other words, so she's outside the period of Dam Toar, which is called Malot. She's outside the period Malot, but she is not yet to the morning of the 81st when she be chayav to bring the korban. So the Mishnah says, Hamapelet or the Shmona Be'echad, if she miscarries on the night of the 81st, means the next morning will be the 81st day. So Beit Shammai potrim mi korban. Beit Shammai says she's off the hook with the korban because the chiv for a korban wasn't chal yet. So one chiv will do for both. Beit Hillel machayvin. Beit Hillel says, no, she's chayvis a different set of korbanot. So the main thing we're going to try to prove is what or means. That's the key thing. It says, Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. So Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, Maishna or shmona ve'echad, miyom shmona ve'echad. What's the difference? So there was a day, the day begins at night and goes to the next day. So what's the difference? The daylight hours of the 81st day or the night of the 81st. It's still the 81st day. You can see the day of the 81st that she's chayav. So the night is part of that same day. And then in addition to which, im shiva lo latuma, I'm sorry, im yishva lo latuma, lo yishva lo lekorban. If Mamela, you concede that she's entered a period where now if she sees blood, she's tamea, so why shouldn't she be also chayav in another korban? Okay, that's what Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai has answers to Beit Hillel, but we want to just extrapolate from this Mishnah. Midkamer Beit Hillel Beit Shammai Mishnah or Shmon Ve'Echad Miyom Shmon Ve'Echad. Since Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, what's the difference of or Shmon Ve'Echad vis-a-vis Yom Shmon Ve'Echad? He says Shmamina or Tehu Shmamina. So from here, you see conclusively in that Mishnah, or means the night. I mean, there's no other way to explain that Mishnah that it means the night. So that's another nail in the coffin to Rav Huna. All right. Any questions on this?
If she has a miscarriage on the 80th night, what's the status?
So then she's covered. Then she gets a discount price. The 80th is certainly she's covered. In other words, it's only the night of the 81st. In other words, because the 81st, she enters a different legal period. Now she sees blood, she's Tamea. And then the two key events are she sees blood, she's Tamea, which everybody concedes on the night of the 81st. But his chaivus for a korban only begins on the morning of the 81st. So Beit Shammai links it to when she becomes chayevet in the korban. In other words, like now, so if she had another obligation before that period of time, so it all gets subsumed in one set of korbano. That's according to Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says once she's leaving the 80 days, so now she's chayev in two sets of korbanot. Now, Mamela, she can't bring any korbanot on the 81st day anymore since she had the miscarriage. She's going to have to go through another period of, dam tumea and dam tawar and the whole shebang. But then at the end of that period of time, she'll bring either one or two sets of korbanot.
When does her dam tawar stop? On the 80th day at night?
No. Let's go back. Let's say the 80th day is Monday.
Okay.
So Monday night is the 81st night. So that's when it stops.
So Monday night, if she sees again, she'll be
Tamei. Now she'll be Tamei, right. And then Tuesday would be the day that she would bring the korban if she hadn't miscarried. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. We're on line 8 on Gimel Aleph. Okay. Yeah, can you mute yourself again, Yosef? I'm sorry. Okay.
Do we know what he answered, Beit Shammai?
Yeah, we do. Rashi brings it down. So Rashi, one second. Yeah, so Beit Shammai is focused on Shaha Ru'i, the Korban. Beit Shammai says if you get to a point in time where you can bring the Korban, that's the litmus test. That's what they say.
So yeah, until you bring the Korban, you're okay.
In other words, so until the time that you're chayvin the Korban, which is the morning of the 81st, that's the piece. And then Beit Shammai also says that the fact that you have a difference in blood is not machria. He says that let's say she had miscarried toch malot. Let's say she miscarried in the 66 days. So the blood from the miscarriage would be tamea. That's a different type of blood. So the fact that she's got tamei blood doesn't necessarily militate. That means that she's chayv in a korban. All right. All right,
I have a question.
Okay, what's up, Ruth? Yeah.
I know you don't like questions like this, but you're looking at a woman here who has given birth to a baby, to a girl, and within 3 months of that, she is now pregnant again and loses that baby. And now she's doubly punished by having to bring a korban. The Gemara so often is so full of so much compassion for women. Does this not in any way come up at all in the Gemara?
First of all, who says bringing a korban is a punishment? I don't know. That's your own twist on it. Bringing a korban brings a person kapara. So why is that a punishment?
It's a financial
liability. But that's what the Torah prescribes.
What's the function of when you say it's a kapara? What does that mean?
Again, this is a very different topic, and we're focusing on the meaning of the word or. But the Gemara in Nida says that women, when they're giving birth, they take a shvua that they're never going to have another child. And then she has another child. So
she's punished, double punished.
Not double punished. I said kapara, atonement. She gets atonement for that. Okay, listen, I have to move on, Ruth. I can't deal with this right now, okay? But let me just move on, okay? I'm sorry, but that's the answer. All right, now let's see further. Again, and I don't think that it's anything about a lack of compassion. There's nothing in this is a lack of compassion. All right, let's take a look. Now, the seventh line on Gimel Mem Aleph Meifei, we ask another shaila against Rav Huna. Now, this is talking about korbanot. It's talking about a korban shlamim versus a korban toda. Korban toda is eaten for one day and one night. So if I bring the korban toda on Monday, I get to eat it Monday and Monday night. That's the way it. If I bring a korban shlamim, so I get 2 days and a night. Now, the Torah doesn't say 2 days and a night. It says, b'yom ziv chachem ye'achel, the day is offered to be eaten, umimacharat, and the next day. And it says, v'anotar, yom ha'shishi ba'ishi saref. Whatever's left to the third day has to be burnt. Okay, so we'll see in the Gemara now. Meitvei, yechol yehe ne'achal or l'shlishi, I might have thought, and again, we're focusing on what the word or means. I might have thought that the korban shlamim could be eaten or l'shlishi. So if I bring the korban shlamim on Monday, I could eat it Tuesday, or l'shlishi would be Tuesday night. That would be the or l'shlishi. In other words, Wednesday in my example would be shlishi. So he says, yechol yehe ne'achal or l'shlishi. I might have thought that. V'dinhu, and it's logical, zvachim ne'achal in liyom achad, zvachim means a korban toda, is eaten for 1 day. Ushlamim ne'achalin l'shneyamim. We know korban shlam is eaten for 2 days. Malahalan laila achar yom. Just like by the korban toda, so I eat it Monday and Monday night because the laila follows the day by kadshim. He says afkan laila achar yom. So to here, if I can eat it Monday and Tuesday, so Tuesday night is included in the package. That's what I would have thought. That's what I would have thought. Left to my own devices. Talmud Lomar. So the Torah says, "B'yom ziv chachem yachel imacharad v'hanotar ad yom." On the day it's offered to be eaten, and the next day v'hanotar ad yom. So the whole pasuk says, "What's left to the third day, which is Wednesday?" In my example, he says, "Ba'od yom hu ne'achal." So the Gemara is darshaning ad yom as if it said od yom. In other words, "Ba'od yom hu ne'achal." In other words, it can only be eaten that the day. In other words, at nightfall, the time ends to eat it. Ve'inu ne'achal or shlishi. It can't be eaten on my example Tuesday night. Yechol yisareif miyad. I might have thought, again, the din of notar, anything that's left over has to be burnt. So I might thought the din of sreifa is chal immediately when the time for achila ends. Ve'dinhu, and that's logical, I would say, zvachim ne'achal in liyom b'layla echad. That here's zvachim means that korban toda is eaten for 1 day and 1 night. Ushlamim ne'achal in l'shnei yamim b'layla echad. And the korban shlamim is eaten for 2 days and 1 night. Malahalan take of lachila sreifa, just like by the korban toda, once the period of eating ends, the period of sreifa begins. So the korban toda, Monday, if I bring the korban, I eat it Monday. I eat it Monday night, and then Tuesday morning, I have a chiv sreifa. As soon as the period of time ends to eating it, the period of sreifa begins. Afkan take of lachila sreifa. So too by the korban shlamim, I would think if I bring it on Monday, I get to eat it Monday night, Tuesday. And then Tuesday night, I can't eat it anymore. So I would think the chiv sreifa begins Tuesday night because I can't eat it anymore. It says, Talmud Lomar, but Otar B'sar HaZevach, Bayom HaShishi, Ba'ishi Sareif. So the Torah says, whatever's left on the third day, you'll eat it. B'yom Atas Sorfo, he has on the side, B'yom Sorfo B'laylam. You don't burn it by night. Anyway, the key that we're trying to focus on is what does the word or mean as used in this Braisa. So the Gemara says, since the Braisa said, I would have thought that the korban shlamim could be eaten or l'shlishi. What is it, or l'shlishi? I mean, we know that on the third day, the pasuk is mefurish, has to be burned. So I don't think it's eaten or like the day of shlishi. It means the night of the shlishi. Alma or to shmamina. So here again, I have another solid proof that or means night. Okay. Let me just do one more proof, and then we'll take some questions, okay? So Tashma, now we're bringing... So we had two more nails in the coffin for Rav Huna, who said that or means nagi, light. And so we thought Rav Huna means day. It says Tashma, another proof. Now, this is from another Braisa. It says, or shal yom kippurim. Again, here we say or. Again, or shal yom kippurim. And again, everybody agrees or means light. But the question is, maybe it's a euphemism for night. You know, they call it or. Sometimes you call things that, you know. So or shal yom kippurim pal sheva. On the night of yom, means the night of Yom Kippur, night of Kol Nidre, Yidav and Shmon Esrei with 7 brachot in it. He says umit vada, and you do vidui. We do vidui. That's what we do. We do vidui after the seven brachot. Shacharim pala shemun vada, and then for shacharis you have a shmona esrei with seven brachot, and you do vidui. But musaf min palel shemun vada. Musaf the same thing. But mincha min palel shemun vada. But arvid min palel mein shmona asor. According to the Tanakhama, for Mariv, following Yom Kippur, you also daven seven brachot, and you have a havinenu in the middle. The havinenu is the, synopsis of all the 13 middle brachot. You have the same first three brachot, same last three brachot, and then the synopsis, havinenu in the middle. He says, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Mishum Avotav. Rabbi Chanina says the name of his forebears. Mipalel Shmona Asar Shleimot. You'll say full 18 brachot. Nishtarik Lamor Havdal B'Chonin Adad. Because you have to add Havdal and Chonin Adad. In Tefillat Havinenu, there's no room to change, to adjust the, to adjust anything. So he says, anyway, but the main point is that this Bryce has said on the first wide line, or shal yom ha-kippurim, mit palel sheva, umit vadeh, and then shacharis you do this, and then musaf you do this. So the Gemara says, we're on the fifth very wide line, Michael, welcome, on Gimel Med Aleph, alma or tohu. So I see that or means the night. That's the only way to explain it. So we had this another three nails today in Rav Huna's coffin. So shma mina. So that's another proof. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Either the proof with the Korban Shlamim or the proof with the Tefillah for Yom Kippur. Anybody have any questions? Okay, so let's go further. So the Gemara says on the fifth wide line, Tashma Tatani Debei Shmuel. So we read another proof that a Braisa was taught in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, Lele Arba Asar Bot Kinna Chameitz Or Haner. So this Braisa is like an elaboration or a restatement of what's in our Mishnah. And it says on the night of the 14th, it means plural, on the nights of the 14th, every year on the night of the 14th, you check for chametz by the light of a candle, alma or tohu. So that's definitely, it's now, it's on all fours. Here I have a brisa. This brisa is mefurash, that the pshat in our Mishnah means the night. Now, that's it. So now it seems like a Rav Huna is upgeschluck. That's what it seems like. So the Gemara says, the proof is so conclusive. The Gemara says that we misunderstood what Rav Huna was saying. So Rav Huna only said that Nagi, that Or means Nagi, means light. So the Gemara said, we thought he meant day. Ella, Bain Rav Huna, Bain Rav Yehuda, the Kuli Alma, or to. So no, we misunderstood it. There never was a machloket. They both agreed that Or means the night. But lo pli, there's no machloket. Rather, Markiatre or Markiatre. Each one was just giving the term that was used in his locality, meaning Ba'atri Rav Huna Karu Nagi. In the locality where Rav Huna was, they would call night Nagi, light, like just like our Mishnah. In other words, that's the way we refer to the night as Nagi. He says Ba'atri Rav Huna Karu Lele. They would call it Lila that way. So means they would use this euphemism for the night. So we misunderstood what Rav Huna was saying. Now, let me just do a few lines, then I'll pause. Now, the Gemara says, V'tan didan, my tamalo katani lele. So since we see in the Braisa, the Tana of the Braisa calls it lele, nights, so why doesn't our Tana call it nights? What's with this orli arbasar? Why doesn't the Tana say lele arbasar like the Braisa says? So the Gemara says, Lishna ma'al yehudinakad, uch Rabbi Shuban Levi. He's taking our Tana is using a more refined language, like Rabbi Shuman Levi teaches us. The Amar Rabbi Shuman Levi liolam ayusi adam devar maguna mipi. A person should never say anything coarse. He says sharei. He came up to Shmona Otiot. I'll say before I do the Shmona and Otiot, let me just do the Rashi on this. There's a Rashi here. Yeah, so if you look in Rashi, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth very wide line, last word in line, Devar Maguna, La Mishim Delele Devar Magunahu. It doesn't mean that the word Laila is something which is, coarse. But Hadar Rabbi Shimon Levi Ba'alma Edmar, Rabbi Shimon Levi's statement, which is that a person should speak in a refined way, is a general statement. Umi Ushmeinu Minah L'Shon Chachamim L'Chazerach L'Shon Tzach V'Naki. Derech Chachamim is to search for, like, the most refined language. So the Tana of our Mishnah was searching for a very refined language. Not that Lila is so coarse, it's not coarse, but he wanted a more refined language. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. He says the Amar Rav Shimon Levi, the Lama Sidam Devar Maguna Mipiv. A person shouldn't say anything coarse. Sharei he came out to Shmona Otiot. The Torah deviates and writes an additional 8 letters below Sidvar Maguna Mipiv, rather than say something a little coarse. Shneamar, it says in Parshat Noach that Hashem commands Noach mina beima Torah. You'll take from the kosher animals. Umina bema esher einena Torah. Now it could have said mina bema hatmeya. So hatmeya is how many letters? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right? Hatmeya is 5 letters. Instead, it says esher einena Torah. That's I think another. That's another 13, 13, 13, no, 13, right? Asherei Nenu Torah.
Right, but you would have had the Tahora.
Right, right. So, extra. Right, right. So 13 minus 5 is 8. So we see the Torah has another 5 letters to say, instead of saying Temeya, say Asherei Nenu Torah. And that's to teach us this klal. He says, And Rashi says 6 lines from the bottom, V'yafagav devaraita k'tiv tamei, even though in the Torah it does say tamei in many places, shani urche b'chadukta lamedcha l'chazer kol shonakia. The Torah deviates in one place to teach me like a lesson that in general I should try to look for the better language. Now, all right, we'll see in a minute. The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to explain that. It depends on whether it's how concise it is and how not concise. So it's usually if I could say the same word and it's just as concise, I should go for the more refined language. But if it's not as concise, so then I have to use the shorter term. But here the Torah doesn't follow that rule to teach me that there is a mila to getting the best language. Oh, we'll see a few more lines and I'll pause. Okay, he says. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Rapapa Amar Tesha. Rapapa says, we see the Torah adds even 9 letters rather than saying something Maguna. Shenemar is another Pasuk. It says, Kiyebecha Ish Asher Lo Yitahor Mikri Laila. If you'll have somebody Asher Lo Yitahor, he's not Tahor, he's not in a state of ritual purity, Mikri Laila, because he had a nocturnal emission, as they say. So it doesn't say, it could say, yet tamei. It says, asher lo yet tahor mikri laila. So over here, it works out. Let me just take a peek. 1 second. Yeah. So over here, it could have said tamei, which is 3 letters. Instead, it says, 1 second. Right. Instead, it says, asher lo yet tahor, which is 12 letters. So 12 minus 3 is 9. So we have an additional 9 letters that the Torah is like flagging down to us that a person should try to speak Lashon Nekiyah.
But isn't Yehiyah
okay, just one second. Please, Fern, remember our rules. Okay, just give me a few minutes and I'll pause. Okay, just wait a few lines, okay? Now, Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Esther, I could argue the Torah is adding 10 letters, Vav de Tahor. In other words, Ashilu Tahor, if I write it without the Vav, so it's 9 letters, but in fact, the Torah writes the word Tahor with a Vav, an extra Vav, whatever you want to say, so it's really an extra 10 letters. All right, 1 second. Rav Achor Bar Yaakov Amar, Shesh Esrei. Rav Achor Bar Yaakov, we see in Tanakh, in the Nevi'im, that the Navi adds an additional 16 letters. Shenemar, this is Shaul speaking about David HaMelech. And remember, David doesn't show up for his suit on Rosh Chodesh. This is in the Haftorah for Machar Chodesh, which we just had a few weeks ago. He says, Ki Amar, that was for Cheshvan, right? Cheshvan was on a Sunday, Monday. So it's like 5, 6 weeks ago we had this. He says, Ki Amar, Mikrehu, it's just, something happened, Bilti Tahorhu, Kilo Tahor. So he says, Bilti Tahorhu, Kilo Tahor, 1 second. Let me see the whole calculation. So it could have said Mikre Tamehu. It says Bilti Tahor Hu Kilo Tahor. So that's 19 letters, that phrase. Bilti Tahor Hu Kilo Tahor is 19 letters. And and it could have just said tamei. So 19 minus 3 is 16. Okay, now let's see what it says. Okay, we're going to go on with this, but what do you have, Fern? What do you got for me?
I thought maybe under some construction of that sentence, ki yevacha ish asher, the yihye is superfluous. Might be. The second yihye.
So asher lo yeto.
It could have been for parallelism, but these are Torah words, so that shouldn't be extra.
They are or not?
It could be, but it doesn't matter. I see what the point is here.
Okay, all right, but I it is superfluous because kiya ish tamei, instead of says asher lo yiya tahor. Let's take a look. All right, I'm gonna. Any other questions? All right, I'm gonna go on and let's just see what else we got now, and then I'll say some things at the end here. Okay, now, okay, so. We're on Gimel Mem Aleph. We're six lines from the bottom on Gimel Mem Aleph. Okay, Tanya debay Rabbi Shmuel. We learn a brisa from the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel. The olam yisaber adam b'shon nakiya. A person should always speak with like refined language. Sharei b'zav kro merkav. Now a zav is a person who has an emission. And remember we studied this in Masechet Nida about the zav. I remember it was a different color. It's not the same as semen. The Gemara learned that the Zav has a different color anyway, but he's got this flow. He's a Zav, and he's mentame what he sits on. And there the Torah calls what he sits on a merkav, like that he rides on, like it could be a saddle or something like that. Now he says, Uva Isha Kro Moshav. A woman could be a Zava. She has a different flow, but she also has the same level of Tuma. She's also mentame, that's what she sits on. Remember, what she sits on becomes an avatuma, not just tamei, but it's an avatuma. That's the moshav and the merkav of the zav. So, but it calls it there the moshav, the seat, meaning like you don't want to refer to a woman like on a saddle, like her legs are spread apart. So, I totally want to say, in other words, it's the same idea, you know, that which she rides on and that which she sits on. But the Torah doesn't want to say that which the woman rides on. It's like conjures up an image of a woman, you know, with her legs separated, which isn't such a nice thing. So Lashon Nakia. So the Torah is putting in Lashon Nakia. Va'omer, and then there's another pasuk. And again, this is all part of the Brisa. Va'omer, v'tivchar Lashon Arumim. That, he says you should have chosen the language of the wise. V'tivchar Lashon Arumim. And he says, Va'omer, v'dad sifatai, barur mileu. He says, my lips expressed refined knowledge. So two psukim. Okay, now the Gemara says, my va'omer, what do I need the psukim at all? In other words, once I have this raya, in other words, there's really like three parts to this brisa. First, about the zav, and then we have the psukim from Eov. Yeah, is everybody muted because I hear some noise coming in? Let me help everybody out. Okay, all right, now everybody's muted. All right, so so he says, V'chite mahani mi libdoraita. So I would have thought this idea of picking Lashon Nakia is only shayach to the psukim in the Torah. And it was there, the Torah is very makpid, that everything should be proper language. Aval b'drabanan lo. But if the rabbis are saying something, so not necessarily that case. If they're formulating something, that there's no obligation that it be in the most refined way. So tashma v'omer v'tivchar lashon arumim. So we have. So that's why the Tana quotes his pasuk. He says, "You shall choose the language of the wise." It means that even the wise people, the chachamim, they use very refined language. That's the arumim or the chachamim. He says, "V'chite mahani milu b'drabanan." Maybe I'll say, "Well, that's only like the rabbis are doing it." Apamili da amalo. But if a person just anything can speak whichever way he wants, v'omer v'das v'tai barur milelu. He says the last pasuk says that my lips express refined knowledge. It says in all situations I should really speak in a refined manner. So the Gemara says uveisha lo ketiv b'merkav. You mean we never refer to a woman in Tanakh riding because it's not lashon nakia. Bahaktiv, it says, Batakam Rivka ben Arutel, Batukavna al Gamalim. It says that Rivka and her maidens, that they rode the Gamalim. That's with Eliezer, right? So he says, so there it says that she rode the camel. Hatamishum biyatutu de Gamalim orchahi. So the Gemara says, meaning a woman normally would ride side saddle. That's the more sneeze way to ride the animal. But when a woman is riding camel, so that's the way she would do it. She would separate her legs and ride the camel because she's terrified from falling off the camel. It's like this big creature, you know, that I don't know how many humps they got, but it's terrifying. So there, the Torah, the derech that a woman would ride a camel, the Torah mentions that. It says Moshe Rabbeinu took his wife, his kids, and he put them on the chamor. So it says Vayar Kivaim, and it mentions about her like riding the donkey that way. Hatam, turn page to Amud Beis. Hatam Mishum Banav Orchahu. Somebody has unmuted themselves, and let me see. That's Mordechai. Mordechai, you keep unmuting yourself, Mordechai. Okay. All right. So okay, you're muted now. Okay. Mordechai, you keep unmuting yourself. You're muted. Please don't touch it, okay? All right. So he says, Mishum Banav Orchahu. In other words, because either the pshat is that it says by our kivaim, because of the kids were riding that way, the mother was not riding that way, or it could be the mother did ride, like, you know, with her legs separated, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the kids, that he had to hold the kids. But that's Derek in that case. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk by Abigail. Abigail is going to see David HaMelech. Remember, with Naval, didn't want to support David HaMelech, and David HaMelech, this is when he was on the lam from Shaul, and David HaMelech, you know, protected Naval's men, and he asked for some food and support. Naval said, you know, mi Davidu, mi ben Yishai, hayom rabu ha'avadim, and partzim et pnei Adonaihem. Who's this David? Who's ben Yishai? We live in lawless times. I'm not giving my money to, like, an outlaw. This is what Naval says. So Abigail, he gets wind of it, and she goes to David to try to, like, calm down, assuage the whole situation. It says, v'hiro chevet al chamor. It says she was riding the chamor. So if it's not like a good mannered thing to do, why does it say that she was riding it? Hata mishum biyatuta delelya orchahu. The Gemara says she was riding at night and fearful, so that's why she did ride that way, to get a good grip. Vibaidema, or else I could say mishum biyatuta delelya leka, mishum biyatuta de Davidika. Or I could say she was terrified what David would say to her when she gets there. So she's getting like for tumult. So that's why she had to grab onto the chamor. Or I could say that she wasn't afraid of David HaMelech, which is the mountain was what was doing it. Okay, now. Okay, you know, Mordechai, you keep unmuting yourself. Okay, now the Gemara says, Uvoraita Miloktiv Tamei. I just want to get to this little pause with this Tamei situation, and we'll summarize and I'll talk, okay? Uvoraita Miloktiv Tamei. So, but I don't understand. So, the Gemara said before that by Noach it says, Minabe Maha Torah, Minabe Maha Sharinena Torah. Okay, fine. So, by Noach it says it that way. But in the Torah, in numerous places, it mentions this Tamei animal, the other Tamei animal. So what's going on? So, the Gemara says, Ela Kol Hecha Dechiyadade Ninu Mishtai B'Lashon Nekiyah. In other words, if it's the same amount of letters, so that, all things being equal, the Torah and a person should choose Lashon Nekiyah. He says, and Lashon Nekiyah here is Asher Einena Tahora, the more refined language. He says, Kol Hecha Denefishin Milei, wherever it's going to be more words to say Lashon Nekiyah, Mishtai B'Lashon Kitzara. So then the Torah will take the more concise, you know, Mordechai, do you hear me, Mordechai? Don't unmute yourself. Leave it muted.
Yeah.
Every time I mute you unmute it. Leave it. Don't touch it now. Listen, Mordechai, do not touch anything. Leave it. Okay. Now, so he said, you keep unmuting it, Mordechai, and I hear you and your wife. All right. Now,
was the same thing with Rabbi Simon.
Mordechai, I just muted you. Do not touch the screen.
I don't touch.
All right, I muted you. Don't touch anything. It shouldn't be unmuted. All right. Somebody unmuted it. Is somebody touching your screen, Mordechai?
No, maybe his is voice activated.
Is it voice activated? I don't know. All right. I'm. All right. Let's go on. Now, the Gemara says, "Kedama Rav Huna Marav." Like Rav Huna said, the name of Rav. Va'amri lo Amar Rav Huna Marav. Others say that Mishum Rav Meir, that Rav said the name of Rav Meir. Liolam Yishana Adam LaTalmido Derech Kitzara. That a person should teach his Talmud in the most concise fashion. So, in other words, the Gemara is setting up. We have a tension between Lashon Kitzara, concise, or being more verbose and using very refined language. So the Gemara is saying, as between those two choices, I pick Lashon Kitzara. That's what the Gemara is saying. He says, V'chol heicha dihadadi ninhu, but when it's the same, like all things being equal, mishtayib lashon kavod. So then I'll take the more refined language. So the Gemara says, V'ha rochevet v'yoshevet l'chiyadadi ninhu, but the word rochevet and yoshevet, those are both the same number of words, the Kamar Rochevet, and yet it says by Abigail that she was Rochevet, and I could just as easily say she was Yoshevet, you know, Allah Hamor. So the Gemara says Rochevet Ketiv. So it says Rochevet Chaser, so it is less letters. All right, now let me just pause for a second.
Can you have Yoshevet Chaser grammatically?
Yeah. Right, so they speak about that. Yoshevet could be Chaser, so, but he says, if you look in footnote 10 in the art scroll, he says they could have said Yoshevet without a Vav. He says, it says Rochevet Chaser to teach me, but Dafka, that concise expression is preferable. That's what he says. So he says.
That doesn't answer the question.
No, in other words, if the Torah writes Rochevet and it writes it Chaser, so then I assume that it's writing Rochevet because Yoshevet would be Malay. In other words, that's why it's picking Rochevet. That's what the Gemara is saying.
But I'm asking if Yoshevet can be Oded. Are you there?
Yeah, it could if be written. It could be written Malay. But I don't know. That's the way he says. Let's see.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Malay.
Let me see the Yoshev, Rashi.
Thursday, we're having a class.
All right. You got a class right now. Okay, one second. Okay. So, Look at Rashi, the second arrow line of Rashi. Rochevet Ketiv, V'yafal gav d'matzim mikhtav nami Yoshevet Chaser. So it's Rashi's got your question, Vern, right? Mihu, kol chaser shebetorah ledroshein boyin. So everything that's chaser in the Torah is coming for a drasha. V'kan li mencha b'chisaron zeh shetitpos l'shon kitzara. In other words, it's saying the way I understand it, in other words, the default is Malay. So if the Torah is writing something chaser, it's to teach you something. So it's teaching me, so we have Rochevet is written chaser, that's to teach me something. He says, and that's to teach me, shetitpos l'shon kitzara, that you should take the short, in other words, if this is written, in other words, the default is you're always Malay. The default is you're always Malay. And it's only chaser if it's coming to teach me something. So here, Rochevet is spelled chaser. So that's to teach me something, that I go with the Kitzara versus the Mali. That's the way Rashi sounds like. He says, even though it's not the nicest language, All right, that's the best they have with it. But Mepharshim do speak about it. Okay, now, let me do a little story. Michael always likes story. My printer broke, so I don't have these sheets written down like this, but here's our story, and you could all see the story. So this story, I said it when I gave the Parsha Shavua Shir a number of weeks ago, which makes me I feel kind of lousy because I thought I'd just be giving the Parsha class for a couple of weeks, and this is going on for so many months, and I gave this in Parsha's Emor, and now we're in Parsha's Vayetze. Anyway, so he's got things. He quotes from the Dubner Magid. He says he's got the story a little differently. He said, let me say it for my safer. Anyway, he's got it there, but the way he's got it here, this is from Iturei Torah. He says, so the question is the question that the Gemara has. Like here you're saying that You should always say Lashon Nakiya. So Shreinan Torah, but the Torah all over the place says Tame, Tame, Tame. So he brings down, he says, in the neighbor of the Rav of the year, there was one sort of low life. He said there was a low life there. He was a coarse person, but he was wealthy. Somehow in these stories, the wealthy people are always like the coarse, unlearned people. That's the way the stories typically go. So he says, so the people called him Zeinvol, the coarse one. So once somebody came to the house of the Rav and says, where does Rav Zeinvol live? So the Shamash says, ah, you must mean like this coarse Zeinvol. He lives, you know, across the street. So the Rav says to the Shamash, how can you talk that way about another Jew? You shouldn't say coarse, whatever. You know, you should proper derech eretz. You know, you should speak properly. Anyway, after a few days, the Shadchan came to the Rav and said, Zeinvol sent him because he wants to make a shidduch. He wants the Rav's only. He says, he wants the Rav's only son to marry his daughter. So the Rav got angry. He says, what a chutzpah. This is lowlife. This pops in. He thinks he's going to be my machutin. Get out of here. I have nothing to do with him. So afterwards, so the Shamash turns to the Rav. But Rav, you said, every Jew, I should be so careful how I speak. And he just sent this guy like all these things. And I'm adding, I'm juicing it up a little bit. So he says, that's when it's like neutral. Neutral, so you say, like, just ask, you know, where does he live? So you say in a nice way. But if this person thinks he's going to be my mechutin, so I have to say it in a way that he understands that this is like a whole different parsha. So he says, so the Dubner Magi says the same thing. When Noach brings the animals in the Teva, so Halach Lamai said there's no nafkamina for us, which were the Tahor, the Tame. So the Torah is Machbid, I should say Lashon Nakiya, you know, Asher Inena Tahora. When the Torah says halach lemaisa, this is the kosher animal, the non-kosher, so it's tameh. It's like, you know, I want to use it, you know, brachel b'chaktana, spell it out, and that's the way that goes. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, Mordechai, I can't figure out what the problem is, but every time I mute you, it gets unmuted. Now you're muted, and then I'll give it 3 seconds till it gets unmuted. All right, let's see further. All right. So I'm going to move now on in the Gemara, okay? So let's take a look. Now, we're around 15 lines down on Gimel Amud Beis, okay? So the Gemara says, Hanau tre talmidi de habu yatve kami de Rav. There were these two talmidim sitting before Rav. Chadamar shvitinen ha-shmaita kidavar acher misankan. Like this shmait, like this shmua, this halakhic statement that we're studying that Rav must have taught, it's like warn us out, like a davar acher, like a chazer, like his warn is out like a davar acher. He doesn't say chazer, but that's what he means. The warn is out like a pig. He says v'chadamar shvitina ha'ishmaita kigdim sankan. The other one said it warn us out like a worn out kid. So the Gemara says v'lo mishtoi Rav bahari dehayach. Rav didn't speak to the one who said like with the davar acher with the pig. In other words, like Rav felt like he's, you know, spoken improperly, so he didn't want to talk to him. Now, Hanau tre talmide de habu yatve kame de Hillel. There were these two talmidim sitting before Hillel, the Chaminai Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that Hillel had 80 talmidim, and Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai was the least of his talmidim. The greatest of the talmidim was Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel. Remember, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel would study like a bird that would fly over him would get incinerated. And the least of the talmidim was Hillel. So the Gemara says, so that's one version. But Amri lo kame de Rabbi. Others saying that there were two Talmidim sitting before Rabbi, Bechaminai Rabbi Yochanan, and one of them was Rabbi Yochanan, that's the first generation of Amorayim. Chadomar, Mima Bostrim Batara, Vein Moskim Batara. One said, why is it that Betzira refers to harvesting grapes? When you harvest grapes, you have to do it with Kalim that are in a state of Tahara, otherwise it'll come be Metame, the grapes. He says, Vein Moskim Batara. But we don't necessarily harvest the olives with Kalim that are tahorim. He says, v'chadamar, b'neiva botzrim b'tara. When the other one said, why is it that we harvest the grapes b'tara, umoskin b'tuma, and we're mosik b'tuma. So one says, v'ein moskin b'tara, we don't harvest the olives in the state of tahara. The other said, umoskin b'tuma. Now, first, the halacha is like this. The Rashi explains with the grapes, it oozes the juice out. The juice is the machshir, so it could be mekabel tuma. So when I harvest the grapes, I have to have kalim that are tahorim. With the olives, even though something may ooze out of it. It's not called oil. The oil is only called when I squeeze the olive. So it's not a machshir. That's the din. But the point is how they each refer it differently. Now, the Gemara says Amar, so whether it's Hillel or whether it's Rebbe said, Muftachani b'zeh shemor ha-Rabbi Yisrael. So I'm sure this one is going to be Mor ha-Rabbi Yisrael. Now, from the Gemara, it's not clear which one he's saying will be the Mor ha-Rabbi Yisrael. Does he like the first statement better that says that Ein Moskim b'tara? Is that what he likes? Or is he saying the second statement is better that it says Umoskim b'tuma? Now, he says, V'lo yam muatim ad shahor ha-Rabbi Yisrael. So the better statement was either said by Hillel or by Rabbi Yochanan, but which is the better statement? So this sets us up again with conciseness versus Lashon Nekiyah. The first statement is Ein Moskim B'Taro is Lashon Nekiyah, but it's not so concise. It's more words. The second statement is more concise, but it's not such nice words. So which one is he saying? In other words, it just says that one of them he liked, and he said, and whichever one is the more preferable statement, that was the one that was said by either Hillel or by Rabbi Yochanan. So they mentioned this in the Yalad Daf sheets, but there's the Ran in our Masechta. I don't know if any of you have a full Gemara in front of you, but if you have a full Gemara, it's in the Dapim of the Rif on Aleph Amud Beis. So the Ran says, Muftachani b'zeh sh'amar ein moskin b'tara. So the Ran says the one he liked was the first statement, that we don't harvest the olives necessarily in a state of tahara. The afagav de'idach nachat l'shon katzara. Even though the second statement is more concise, afilu hachi l'mitaritz lishnei da'amar umoskin b'tuma umashmad lo sagi b'lav hachi. And so he says, Hilkach lishna dahai da amar vein moskim b'tara daik tfei, klomar she'imach pidin l'masko b'tara. One second. Yeah. You see, ein moskim b'tara is also clearer. In other words, ein moskim b'tara means when I harvest the olives, I don't necessarily have to do it in a state of tahara. But it doesn't mean the second statement is moskim b'tuma. Sounds like b'dafka, I would do it that way. But ein moskim b'tara, I don't. It's clearer this way. He says with Tosfos kafu. So the Ran brings that Tosfos brings down. We don't have this in our daf in the Gemara. Tosfos kafu de efshar shalo toshamar l'shon katzara kamar hachi meinira. So Tosfos says that he favored the one with the concise language. Okay, we're running out of time, so I want to get on some more things. But there's a whole tumult in the Mefarshim. Which one was the more preferable statement? It's not so pashut. Okay, let me just get. There's a famous Gemara, and I want to speak about this famous Gemara for a bit. But let's go on. All right, now. All right, so back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, Hanau Tlata Kane, there were three Kohanim. Chadamar Lahu, one said to his friends, Higiani Kippul. They're talking about getting from the Lechem Apanim, how much they're getting from Lechem Apanim, from the showbread. So one says, all I got was the size of a bean. Bechadamar Higiani Kizai, one says, I got the size of a zayat, an olive, that's bigger. Bechadamar Higiani Kiznab Halata'a. I got like the size of a lizard's tail. Now, the Lata'a is a Tamei Sheretz, it's one of the eight Shratzim. This is not good. So Badku Acharav Amatsu Bo Shemetz Pesul. So he investigated the Kohen who spoke, like with this like coarse language. They investigated and they found something wrong in his yichus, that he wasn't like a Kohen this miuchas. He's not entitled to do avodah on the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara said, how could that be? But Hatanan, we learn in the Mishnah, in Bokin Minimus Be'echulamala, that once somebody is allowed to do avodah, we don't check his genealogy because he's already been checked out thoroughly. So the Gemara says, Lo tema shemetz pasul, ala ema shachas pasul. That, in other words, it sounds similar. In other words, everything is oral. So it wasn't shemetz pasul, that there was something wrong in the yichus. It was shachas pasul. He had this haughtiness was the pasul for him. If a kohen, he's speaking in a very disrespectful manner, so he's removed from the avoda. The ibayd ema, or else I could say, no, they did find something wrong in his yichus, but shani hatam de'iu de'ara nafshe, that he had impaired his own yichus, and having made that statement, they rechecked him, and they found that the first check was not so thorough, and he had something wrong with his yichus. All right, let me do the next piece of Gemara, and then I'll pause. This is a famous Gemara. I'm sure a number of you will remember it. Okay, and if you don't, remember it going forward. Hahu Arama'a, there was a non-Jew, Dahaba Salik V'Achab Sachim B'Rushalayim. He was not Jewish, but we eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. And a non-Jew is not only you know, Jews are allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. He says, Amar Ktiv Koben Nechar Lo Yochabo. He says, Kol Arel Lo Yochabo, that a Gentile shouldn't eat it, and an uncircumcised male shouldn't eat it. And I'm both. Vanoah HaKachilim Yishufrei Shufrei. And I'm eating, I eat the choicest meat from this. The Chazal Darshan out Nikruma Asav Klapei Aviv Shemayim. He's alienated to Hashem, his beliefs. So he says, Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateiros. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateiros said to him, Mika Safu Lach Mein Aliyah. Do they give you the Aliyah, which is the fatty tail? Do they give you now? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateiros is saying like they're really he's setting a trap for him, but he's saying they're really on to you because they're not giving you the best piece of the meat. In other words, he's saying like they only give the best pieces of meat to the Jews. So like a non-Jew, he could have the poor cuts of meat. So they give you any aliyah? No. So you see, they know what's the story with you. So Amar Lei Lo, he says, no. So Kisalkat Lahatam, when he went to Yerushalayim, he says, when you go there, Emelu Sfuli Me Aliyah, he tells him, you should say, give me from the aliyah. Kisalik, when he went, Amar Lei Me Aliyah Sfuli, I'd like some aliyah. What do you give me, this scrawny meat? I want the aliyah, the fatty tail. Now the aliyah, so amrulay aliyah legavoa salka. Aliyah is totally burnt on his bayah. There's nothing to give. So how are we supposed to give you the aliyah? So amrulay man amar lachachi. Who told you to ask for the aliyah? So he says, amar lahu Rabbi Yehuda Matera. So Rabbi Yehuda Matera told me. So amru mayahai to come on. What's this? Why would the Tana Rabbi Yehuda tell somebody to ask for aliyah? He says, bad kubatre. So they investigated him. They found he was an non-Jew, but katluhu, and they killed him. So shalchle Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, shalom lach Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira. So he sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, shalom to you. Da'at ben Netzivin, you're a Netzivin. Your net is spread, or your trap is spread as far as Yerushalayim. Now, if you look at Tosfos, may aliyah mi kasafu lach. One second. Okay, look at the second last Tosfos. Me'ayka mikasafulach, avagav gzim ein aliyato kreva. So the korban pesach could be a lamb or a goat or a kid. So the gdi, so the aliyah, the gdi is not burnt on the zbeach. There's very little aliyah there. Ro pischeim hayatle. So you have to say that most of their korban pesach were lambs. O shema higidlo, or maybe he told them that he had brought a lamb. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, Shlo Allah, Lerega. Why did Rabbi Yehuda, why was he not in Yerushalayim? Why is he staying at Tzivan? Yeshlomar, Shlo Yakarka. They didn't have Karka. And the Gemara is going to learn on Daf Chet that if you don't have Karka, you don't have a mitzvah Aliyah, Leregel. Ozakenaya, Shani Yechol Alech Braglav. He was too old, he couldn't walk. Dipatur mi Pesach, Kamomi Re'iyah. So Tosu says that just like your patur from the Re'iyah, Re'iyah means you appear in Yerushalayim and you bring the Olet Re'iyah. And so, and there are other korban as well. You're also patur from the korban pesach, not so pashut. Inami nitzivin chutz la'aretz, or else nitzivin was outside of Eretz Yisrael. K'nimucha b'sifri b'parshat re'ei, bo b'targim Yerushalmi be'erech ba'kad v'chalnei be'eretz shinar b'targim b'hadas nitzivin b'katisvi. So this is the nitzivin there, is in Babel. So if you look downstairs in my Gemara, I'm sure you have it as well. There's an aleph in parentheses. Ayem ashtab b'mishnah melech. Perek Aleph Mehilchot Korban Pesach Simis Elashon Sof Devar Divrei Toso Reilu Mechilatam Yad Sofam Srichim Etzli Talmud. He says, he's not so happy with it. In other words, not so pashut that you're pater from the Korban Pesach in these situations. Now, the $64,000 question is: they execute this goy. Why does the goy get executed? Why does the goy get executed? So here again, my printer is not working, but we have these sheets here. So he's got, this is the Morota Dafyomi. So he's got a number of ideas. One idea is, he says, he quotes the Menchas Chinuch, according to the Smag, it says, Toshav Sachir lo yochal bo, that relates to the Nachri. In other words, that is directed to the Nachri, that he's charged not to eat it, not just to the Jew who gives him food. But then he says the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch disagree, and they hold that this Isur is only on a Jew who feeds the Goy. So that can't be why we execute him. So it could be they want to say that the Goy was over on Isur Gezel. What? Because the Korban is Mamon Gavoa. So he's over on Gezel, and by the Shabbat Fopene Noach, Azharan Zuhi Mitatan. In other words, they only have one, you know, the penal code is easy to master. Then, let me see, then...
What about Chilul Hashem?
Okay, just one second. Then, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, he says that that he's stealing from B'nai Chaburi, he's registering with them, and he's that way. In other words, then he quotes, this is interesting, the Mahri Asad says, the Nachri is over on Achilat B'nai Me'ayim. The Gemara in Chulin learns that a goy is not allowed to eat the intestines of a behemoth that was shechted, they're considered to be aver menachai, and even though he's not eating the menayim, but it's roasted with the intestines all around. Okay, now one second. Then he quotes from Josephus, and he says that he was executed because he entered the Harabayat, and he says that they found in the excavations, and I think this is a famous piece. They had this stone that they uncovered near the Har Abayit. It says that up until here, you know, non-Jews are not allowed past this point upon pain of death. And so he wants to say that's why he was executed. But there's a different shot, and this I heard from Rav Schechter, and it's from the Maritz Chayas, but it's not in the back of the Gemaras. This is the part of the Kol Kitvei Maritz Chayas. So he has a sefer. Maritz Chayas lived in the 19th century. He has a sefer called Kuntres Achron or Avodas Hamikdash, in which he says that they were still bringing the Korban Pesach after the Korban Abayit. Like, it was against the law, but some people were brave enough to go up to the Har Abayit and bring the Korban Pesach. And he says that this going was sort of like planning to rat on the Jews and to the Roman government. So when they discovered that he was the goy, that's why they executed him, because it's like he's like a rodef. That's why they're killing him. So that would answer your question, Odeid. Those are some answers. And according to the answer of the Azara, so even the goyim that was like from Herod said like you get executed. I don't know if it's ever a chil Hashem to follow halacha. The halacha is Azaran Zui Mitatan. But I have to finish the Gemara. We only have a couple of minutes. I apologize. Okay. So let me just wrap it up now. So the Gemara says we're two lines above where it gets wide on the bottom of the daf. Okay, and I just don't know what's going on with Mordechai. Okay, now, says Rav Kahana Chalas, Rav Kahana was ill, Shadru Rabbanan Rabbi Yeshua B'raid Ravidi, they sent Rabbi Yeshua the son of Ravidi, Amr Lei Zil B'dok Ma'idina, find out what's going on with him. He says, Ata Ashche Denach Nafshe, he found that he was dead. So Kari Levushe, he ripped his garment, he says, Vahadri Lakar Lahuri, and he flipped it out behind him. He says, Ubach, and he cried, Ba'ati, and he came to where all the rabbis were. In other words, he didn't want to say he died. So he puts the kara, but he puts it behind him. They don't see it immediately. In other words, like he wants them to impart the knowledge, but not like suddenly. So Amrulay Nach Nafshe, they said, did he die? So he says, Amar Lahu Analo Kamina. I didn't say it. The person gives forth to the Gadiba is like this bad report, or he says an evil report, he's a fool. That's what he wants to say. All right, now, Yochanan Chakuka is like is his nickname. Nafak Lakiriyato, he says here to the villages in the countryside to inspect the crops. Kiata, when he came back, Amrule, it's the people, I guess, in the town where he was from, they said, Chitina suyafot, is there a good crop this year? Is the wheat good? So Amar Lahem, Sorim na suyafot. He says, the barley is fantastic. So he said, they asked him about the wheat. He says, the barley is good. The barley is the animal food. The wheat is the human food. So Amrule, Tseva said, Susim lechamurim. So he says, you should give good news to the horses and the donkeys. That the barley and the straw is for the horses and for the fast steed. So it sounds like they were like not happy with what he was saying. So the horse is my habit of the man. What would have been the proper way to say it? So the proper would have been Ishtaka nasu chitim yafo. Last year the wheat was good, is what he could have said. Inami adashim nasu yafo. Or the lentils are good. In other words, lentils are human food, or we say last year the wheat was good, but when he said like the barley is good, is like the animal food. All right, I have 90 seconds for some questions, comments, and thoughts. Who wants to ask any questions or say anything?
Wasn't this last thing like when he avoids directly saying the guy passed away? Isn't that the same euphemism that they just condemned like 20 lines before?
He's talking in a euphemism. Well, that's the point that it is good to speak that way. So what do we
condemn? No. But I thought the idea was you should speak more directly. In other words, even if it takes... Why can't he just say yes?
Okay. When a Rebbe is teaching his Talmud, a Rebbe is teaching Torah to the Talmud, so there's a countervailing interest that a person should teach Bederech Kitzara in the short way. That's the only thing we said. We said that the Rebbe has to teach Bederech Kitzara, but there's a countervailing interest in doing Lashon Nekiyah. If it's both the same, I go Lashon Nekiyah. Here there's no Rebbe teaching a Talmud. Here, the Gemara Pumfakeret is teaching that, you know, I don't say, you know, bang, bang, this happened. I should do it like in a, like a, sort of like euphemistically. That is a good thing. All right, which one say, Odeid?
Hey, did we cover the Tosafot for Fern question about Yoshevet B'Lashon Chaser? Where I only did Rashi.
Yeah,
because it says Rochevet K'tiv. Lichtov Nami Yoshevet Vomer Rabbi Yitzchak de lo matze lemichtav Yoshevet de chol echa dichtav Yoshev velo vav ata lidorsha de darshinan velot Yoshev b'shar zdom. So I think it's answering your question.
Okay.
Fern,
okay. That's the point out to Tosfos. Right. So it couldn't have said Yoshevet. Though it seems to me that's similar. I thought that was similar to what Rashi was saying. No, Rashi says that whenever he says "kol chaser to ledrosh." No, you're right. Right, it's different. Okay, that's what Tosa says. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up now. Okay, nice. Let me just end the recording. Okay.